to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and I will not be hosting this episode. This will be read by Nick Sleazen of the band Defamation League. The book is Night of the Living Dummy. I would talk more here, but Nick more than covered that for me. Nick?
Hello, hello. What is up, Dunians? I am not Dune. It's good to meet you. My name is Nick Sleazen. Nicky Sleaze. Lifelong friend of Dune's, about 10 years. He's allowed me to step in for this one, do a little guest reading. I'm a local musician, been doing pointless crap like this with Dune for years now.
Whoa, hold your horses, Nick. Only I get to refer to the podcast as pointless crap. You've insulted my listeners, and because of that, I think they deserve a break.
I'm excited to read some Goosebumps. I loved horror my whole life. Used to read Goosebumps. Traumatized by movies as I was a kid. Traumatized by The Shining and Psycho especially. Still some of my all-time favorites. I've actually lately been reading nothing but H.P. Lovecraft, which has been awesome. And he has quite an extensive vocabulary, and I've been fighting through many words that he uses. Furtiveness. I don't even know what that is. Imposture. Preternatural. Very confusing words lately, so I'm excited to read some R.L. Real Life Stein. Shouldn't be too complicated, I think. Love what Dune adds to these things, man. I will be reading tonight Night of the Living Dummy, the seventh book of the Goosebumps series. Actually, it came out in May of 1993, and I'm reading it May 3rd, 2010. Good 17 years, maybe even to the date. I don't know. Couldn't find the exact date. We're talking 17 years here. I'm enjoying some nostalgic Goosebumps. Lucky enough to have Dune let me do this. It's an honor. And let's rock and roll. I'm ready to do it. Night of the Living Dummy by R.L. Stein, read by Nicky Sleaze.
Here we go. The Chapter 1. Chris Powell struggled to get her twin sister's attention. Lindy Powell glanced up from the book she was reading to see what the problem was. Instead of her sister's pretty face, Lindy saw a round pink bubble nearly the size of Chris's head. "Nice one," Lindy said without much enthusiasm. With a sudden move, she poked the bubble and popped it. "Hey!" Chris cried as the pink bubble gum exploded onto her cheeks and chin. Quite the money shot. Lindy laughed. "Gotcha." Chris angrily grabbed Lindy's paper bag and slammed it shut. "Whoops, lost your place," she exclaimed. She knew her sister hated to lose her place in a book. Good one. Lindy grabbed the book back with a scowl. Chris struggled to pull back the pink gum off her face. "Ugh, that was the biggest bubble I ever blew," she said angrily. The gum wasn't coming off her chin. "I've blown much bigger than that," Lindy said with a superior, whorish sneer. "I don't believe you two," their mother muttered, making her way into their bedroom and dropping a neatly folded pile of laundry at the foot of Chris's bed. "You even compete over bubblegum?" "We're not competing," Lindy muttered. She tossed back her blonde ponytail and returned her eyes to her book. Both girls had straight blonde hair, but Lindy kept hers long, usually tying it behind her head or on one side in a ponytail, and Chris had hers cut very short. It was a way for people to tell the twins apart, for they were nearly identical in every other way. Both had broad foreheads and round blue eyes. Both had dimples in their cheeks when they smiled. Both blushed easily, large pink circles forming on their pale cheeks. Both thought their noses were a little too wide. Both wished they were a little taller. Lindy's best friend, Alice, was nearly 3 inches taller, even though she hadn't even turned 12 yet. "Did I get it all off?" Chris asked, rubbing her chin, which was red and sticky and gooey and just so many jokes I can make. "Not all," Lindy told her, glancing up. "There's some in your hair." "Oh, great," Chris muttered. She grabbed at her hair, but couldn't find any bubblegum, just lots of other stuff. "Gotcha again," Lindy said, laughing. "You're too easy." Chris uttered an angry growl. "Why are you always so mean to me?" "Me? Mean?" Lindy looked up in wide-eyed innocence. "I'm an angel. Ask anyone." Exasperated, Chris turned back to her mother, who was stuffing socks in a dresser drawer. "Mom, when am I going to get my own room?" "On the 12th of never," Mrs. Powell replied, grinning idiotically. Chris groaned. "That's what you always say, and it's never funny." Her mother shrugged. "You know we don't have a spare inch, Chris." She turned to the bedroom window. Bright sunlight streamed through the filmy curtains. "It's a beautiful day. What are you two doing inside?" "Mom, we're not little girls," Lindy said, rolling her eyes. "We're 12. We're too old to go out and play." "Did I get it all?" Chris asked, still scraping pink patches of bubblegum off her chin. "Oh my God, there's so much bubblegum on her face, you don't even understand." Leave it. It improves your complexion, Lindy told her. That's pretty funny. I wish you girls would be nicer to each other, Mrs. Powell said with a sigh. They suddenly heard shrill barking coming from downstairs. What's Barky excited about now? Barky is the name of their dog. Wow. RL. Wow. What's Barky excited about now? Mrs. Powell fretted. The little black terrier was always barking about something. Why not take Barky for a walk? Don't feel like it, Lindy muttered, nose in her book. What about those beautiful new bikes you got for your birthdays? Mrs. Powell said, hands on hips. Those bikes you just couldn't live without. You know, the ones that have been sitting in the garage since you got them. Okay, okay, you don't have to be sarcastic, Mom, Lindy said, closing her book. She's the one with long, straight blonde hair, not short hair. She stood up, stretched, and tossed the book onto her bed. You want to? Chris asked Lindy. Want to what? Go for a bike ride. We could ride to the playground, see if anyone's hanging out at the school. You just want to see if Robbie is there, Lindy said, making a face. So, Chris said, blushing. Go on, get some fresh air, Mrs. Powell. There's lots of women that I am just speaking for. It's very feminine of me. Mrs. Powell urged. I'll see you later. I'm off to the supermarket. Chris peered into the dresser mirror. She had gotten most of the gum off. Finally. She brushed her short hair back with both hands. Come on, let's go out, she said. Last one out is a rotten egg. She darted to the doorway, beating her sister by half a step. As they burst out the back door, with Barky yipping shrilly behind them, the afternoon sun was high in a cloudless sky. The air was still and dry. It felt more like summer than spring. Both girls were wearing shorts and sleeveless t-shirts. Lindy bent to pull open the garage door, then stopped. The house next door caught her eye. Look, they've got the walls up, she told Chris, pointing across their backyard. That new house is going up so quickly. It's amazing, Chris said, following her sister's gaze. See, the thing is, the builders had knocked down the old house during the winter. The new concrete foundation had been put down in March. Lindy and Chris had walked around on it when no workers were there, trying to figure out where the different rooms would go. And now the walls had been built. The construction suddenly looked like a real house, rising up in the midst of tall stacks of lumber, a big mound of red-brown dirt, a pile of concrete bricks, and an assortment of power saws, tools, and machinery. No one's working today, Lindy said. They took a few steps toward the new house. Who do you think will move in? Chris wondered. Maybe some great-looking guy our age. Maybe great-looking twin guys. Yuck, Lindy made a disgusted face. Twin guys? Twincest? How drippy can you get? I can't believe you and I are in the same family. Chris was used to Lindy's sarcasm. Both girls liked being twins and hated being twins at the same time, because they shared nearly everything. Their looks, their clothing, their room. They were even closer than most sisters ever get. But because they were so much alike, they also managed to drive each other crazy a lot of the time. No one's around. Let's check out the new house, Lindy said. Chris followed her across the yard. A squirrel, halfway up the wide trunk of a maple tree, watched them warily. Sketchy-ass squirrel. They made their way through an opening in the low shrubs that divided the 2 yards. Then, walking past the stacks of lumber and the tall mound of dirt, they climbed the concrete stoop. A sheet of heavy plastic had been nailed over the opening where the front door would go. Chris pulled one end of the plastic up, and they slipped into the house. It was dark and cool inside and had a fresh wood smell. The plaster walls were up, but hadn't been painted. Careful, Lindy warned. Nails. She pointed to the large nails scattered over the floor. If you step on one, you'll get lockjaw and die. You wish, Chris said. I don't want you to die, Lindy replied. Just get lockjaw, she snickered. Ha ha, Chris said sarcastically. Duh. This must be the living room, she said, making her way carefully across the front room to the fireplace against the back wall. A cathedral ceiling, Lindy said, staring up at the dark, exposed wooden beams above their head. Neat. This is bigger than our living room, Chris remarked, peering out the large window to the street. It smells great, Lindsay said, taking in a deep breath. All the sawdust, it smells so piney. They made their way through the hall and explored the kitchen. Are those wires on? Chris asked, pointing to a cluster of black electrical wires suspended from the ceiling beams. Why don't you touch one and find out and get shocked and die? Lindy suggested. You first, Chris shot back. This kitchen isn't very big, Lindy said, bending down to stare into the holes where the kitchen cabinets would go. She stood up and was about to suggest they check out the upstairs when she heard a sound. Huh? Her eyes widened in surprise. Is someone in here? Chris froze in the middle of the kitchen. They both listened. Silence. Then they heard soft, rapid footsteps close by, in the house. Let's go, Lindsay whispered. Chris was already ducking under the plastic, heading out the doorway opening. She leapt off the back stoop and started running toward their backyard. Lindy stopped at the bottom of the stoop and turned back to the new house. Hey, look, she called. A squirrel came flying out a side window. It landed on the dirt, with all 4 feet moving, and scrambled toward the maple tree in the Powell's yard. Lindy laughed. Just a dumb squirrel. That one that was watching us waringly. I mean, why did the squirrel even care what we were doing? We were just looking through a house. No big deal, you know? Squirrels. Chris stopped near the low shrubs. You sure? She hesitated, watching the windows of the new house. That was a pretty loud squirrel. When she turned back from the house, she was surprised to find that Lindy had disappeared. Hey, where'd you go?
Over here, Lindy called. I see something.
It took Chris a while to locate her sister. Lindy was half hidden behind a large black trash dumpster at the far end of the yard. Chris shielded her eyes with one hand to see better. Lindy was bent over the side of the dumpster. She appeared to be rummaging through some trash. What's in there? Chris called. Lindy was tossing things around and didn't seem to hear her. What is it? Chris called, taking a few reluctant steps toward the dumpster. Lindsay didn't reply. Then, slowly, she pulled something out. She started to hold it up. Its arms and legs dangled down limply. Chris could see a head with brown hair. A head? Arms and legs? Oh no! Chris cried aloud, raising her hands to her face in horror.
Cha-cha, chapter two. Cha-cha, chapter two.
A child? Chris uttered a silent gasp, staring in horror as Lindy lifted him out of the trash dumpster. She could see his face frozen in a wide-eyed stare. His brown hair stood stiffly on the top of his head. He seemed to be wearing some sort of gray suit. His arms and legs dangled lifelessly. Lindy, Chris called, her throat tight with fear. Is he alive? Her heart pounding, Chris started to run to her sister. Lindy was cradling the poor thing in her arms. Is he alive? Chris repeated breathlessly. She stopped short when her sister started to laugh. No, not alive, Lindy called gleefully. And then Chris realized that it wasn't a child after all. A dummy, she shrieked. Lindy held it up. A ventriloquist dummy, she said. Someone threw him out. Do you believe it? It's in perfect shape. It took Lindy a while to notice that Chris was breathing hard, her face bright red. Chris, what's your problem? Oh, wow, did you think he was a real kid? Lindy laughed scornfully. No, of course not, Chris insisted. Lindy held the dummy up and examined his back, looking for the string to pull to make his mouth move. I am a real kid, Lindy made him say. She was speaking in a high-pitched voice through gritted teeth, trying not to move her lips. Dumb, Chris said, rolling her eyes. I am not dumb, you're dumb, Lindy made the dummy say in a high, squeaky voice. When she pulled the string in his back, the wooden lips moved up and down, clicking as they moved. She moved her hand up his back and found the control to make his painted eyes shift from side to side. He's probably filled with bugs, Chris said, making a disgusted face. Throw him back, Lindy. No way, Lindy insisted, rubbing her hand tenderly over the dummy's wooden hair. I'm keeping him. She's keeping me, she made the dummy say. Chris stared suspiciously at the dummy. His brown hair was painted on his head. His blue eyes moved only from side to side and couldn't blink. He had bright red painted lips curved up into an eerie smile. The lower lip had a chip in one side so that it didn't quite match the upper lip. Sounds pretty creepy. The dummy wore a gray, double-breasted suit over a white shirt collar. The collar wasn't attached to a shirt. Instead, the dummy's wooden chest was painted white. Big brown leather shoes were attached to the end of his thin, dangling legs. My name is Slappy. Oh my god. Reading Lovecraft fluently is fine, but Lindy instead of Lindsay is destroying me right now. I hate you, Arl Stein, for that. Lindy, made the dummy say, moving his grinning mouth up and down. Dumb, Chris repeated, shaking her head. Why Slappy? Come over here and I'll slap ya, Lindy made him say, trying not to move her lips. Chris groaned. Are we gonna ride our bikes to the playground or not, Lindy? Afraid poor Robbie misses ya? Lindy made Slappy ask. Put that ugly thing down, Chris replied impatiently. I'm not ugly, Slappy said in Lindsay's squeaking voice, sliding his eyes from side to side. You're ugly. Your lips are moving, Chris told Lindsay. You're a lousy ventriloquist. I'll get better, Lindy insisted. You mean you're really keeping it? Chris cried. I like Slappy. He's cute, Lindy said, cuddling the dummy against the front of her t-shirt. I'm cute, she made him say, and you're ugly. Shut up, Chris snapped to the dummy. You shut up, Slappy replied in Lindy's tight, high-pitched voice. Nikki Sleaze's tight, high-pitched voice. What do you want to keep him for? Chris asked, following her sister toward the street. I always liked puppets, Lindy recalled. Remember those marionettes I used to have? I played with them for hours at a time. I made up long plays with them. I always played with marionettes, too, Chris remembered. You got the strings all tangled up, Stoopy, Lindy said, frowning. You weren't any good at it, dummy. But what are you going to do with this dummy? Chris demanded. I don't know. Maybe I'll work up an act, Lindy said thoughtfully. Loves those adverbs, R.L. Stein does, shifting Slappy to her other arm. I'll bet I could earn some money with them. You know, appear at kids' birthday parties, put on shows. Happy birthday, she made Slappy declare. Hand over some money. Chris didn't laugh, but I did. The two girls walked along the street in front of their house. Lindy cradled Slappy in her arms, one hand up his back, the other one doing you know what. I think he's creepy, Chris said, kicking a large pebble across the street. You should put him back in the dumpster. No way, Lindy insisted. No way, she made Slappy say, shaking his head, his glassy blue eyes moving from side to side. I'll put you in the dumpster. Seems to be Slappy's only joke is saying what the other person said, but you. That's very immature of him. Slappy sure is mean, Chris remarked, frowning at Lindy. Lindy laughed. Don't look at me, she teased. Complain to Slappy. Chris scowled. You're jealous, Lindy said, because I found him and you didn't. Chris started as a protest, but they both heard voices. Chris looked up to see the two Marshall kids from down the block running toward them. They were cute, red-headed, ginger-ass kids that Lindy and Chris sometimes babysat for. What's that? Amy Marshall asked, pointing at Slappy. Does he talk? Her younger brother, Ben, asked, staying several feet away, an uncertain expression on his freckled face. Hi, I'm Slappy! Lindy made the dummy call out. She cradled Slappy in her one arm, making him sit up straight, his arms dangling at his sides. Where did you get him? Amy asked. Do his eyes move? Ben asked, still hanging back. Do your eyes move? Slappy asked Ben with the exact same joke again. Both Marshall kids laughed for some reason. Ben forgot his reluctance. He stepped up and grabbed Slappy's hand. Ouch, not so hard, Slappy cried. Ben dropped the hand with a gasp. Then he and Amy collapsed in gleeful laughter. Lindy made Slappy laugh, tilting his head back and opening his mouth wide. The two kids thought that was a riot. They laughed even harder. Pleased by the response she was getting, Lindy glanced at her sister. Chris was sitting on the curb, cradling her head in her hands, a dejected look on her face. She's jealous, Lindy realized. Chris sees that the kids really like Slappy, and that I'm getting all the attention. And she's totally jealous. I'm definitely keeping Slappy, Lindy told herself, secretly pleasing her little triumph. She stared into the dummy's bright blue painted eyes. To her surprise, the dummy seemed to be staring back at her, a twinkle of sunlight in his eyes, his grin wide and knowing. Oh, 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 chapter three. Who is that on the phone, Mr. Powell? That's a guy. Who was that on the phone? Mr. Powell asked, shoveling another forkful of spaghetti into his mouth. Fat Italian wop bastard. I'm Italian, it's okay. Lindy slipped back into her place at the table. It was Mrs. Marshall, down the block. Does she want you to babysit? Mrs. Powell asked, reaching for the salad bowl. She turned to Chris. Don't you want any salad? Chris wiped spaghetti sauce off her chin, so much stuff all over her chin so far, with her napkin. Maybe later. No, Lindy answered. She wants me to perform at Amy's birthday party with Slappy. Your first job, Mr. Powell said, a smile crossing his slender face. Amy and Ben liked Slappy so much they insisted on him, Lindy said. Mrs. Marshall is going to pay me $20, motherfucker! That's great, their mother exclaimed. She passed the salad bowl across the table to her husband, tossing his salad while she did it. It had been a week since Lindy rescued Slappy from the trash dumpster. Every day after school, she had spent hours up in her room rehearsing with him, working on his voice, practicing not moving her lips, thinking up jokes to perform with him, fantasizing about him sexually, you know, the usual. Chris kept insisting the whole thing was dumb. I can't believe you're being such a nerd, she told her sister. Nerd. She refused to be an audience for Lindy's routines. But when Lindy brought Slappy into school on Friday, Chris's attitude began to change. A group of kids had gathered around Lindsay. A group of kids had gathered around Lindy outside her locker. As Lindy made Slappy talk for them, Chris watched from down the hall. She's going to make a total fool of herself, Chris thought, but to her surprise, the kids hooted and howled. They thought Slappy was a riot. Even Robbie Martin, the guy Chris had a crush on for 2 years, thought Lindy was terrific. Man, just kick her while she's down. Watching Robbie laugh and get erect along with the other kids made Chris think hard. Becoming a ventriloquist might be fun. And profitable. Lindy was going to earn $20 at the Marshall's birthday party. That's like $1 million to a 12-year-old. And when word got around, she'd probably perform at a lot of parties and earn even more money, like $1,000,000,000. After dinner that evening, Lindy and Chris washed and dried the dishes. Then Lindy asked her parents if she could practice her new comedy routine on them. She hurried up to her room to get Slappy. Mr. and Mrs. Powell took a seat on the living room couch. Maybe Lindy will be a TV star, Mrs. Powell said. Maybe, Mr. Powell agreed, settling back on the couch, a pleased smile on his face. Barky yapped and climbed between Mr. and Mrs. Powell, his tiny stub of a tail wagging furiously, and his stupid name still infuriating me. You know you're not allowed on the couch, Mrs. Powell said, sighing, but she made no move to push Barky off. Chris sat down away from the others, on the floor by the steps, cradling her chin in her hands. You're looking glum this evening, her father remarked. Can I get a dummy too? Chris asked. She hadn't really planned to say it. The question just popped out of her mouth. Lindy came back into the room, carrying Slappy around the waist. Ready? She asked. She pulled a dining room chair into the center of the living room and sat down on it. Well, can I? Chris repeated. You really want one too? Mrs. Powell asked, surprised. Want what? Lindy asked, confused. Chris said she wants a dummy too, Mrs. Powell reported. No way, Lindy said heatedly. Why do you want to be such a copycat, you biter-ass bitch? It looks like fun, Chris replied, her cheeks turning bright pink. If you can do it, I can do it too, she added shrilly. You always copy everything I do, Lindy protested angrily. Why don't you find something of your own for once? Go upstairs and work on your junk jewelry collection, motherfucker. That's your hobby. Let me be the ventriloquist. Girls, Mr. Powell started, raising a hand for quiet. Please, don't fight over a dummy. I really think I'd be better at it, Chris said. Wow, that's bold. I mean, Lindy isn't very funny. That's true. Everyone thinks I'm funny, Lindy insisted. That's not very nice, Chris, Mrs. Powell scolded. Well, I just think if Lindy has one, I should be able to have one too, Chris said to her parents. Copycat, biter-ass bitch, Lindy repeated, shaking her head. You've been putting me down all week. You said it was nerdy. But I know why you changed your mind. You're upset because I'm going to earn more money than you, and you're not. I really wish you two wouldn't argue about everything, Mr. Powell said, disgustedly. Well, can I have a dummy? Chris asked him. They're expensive, Mr. Powell replied, glancing at his wife. A good one will cost more than $100, and this is 1993. I really don't think we can afford to buy one now. Why don't you both share Slappy? Mrs. Powell suggested, idiotically. Huh? Lindy's mouth dropped open in protest. You two always share everything, Mrs. Powell continues. Why don't you share Slappy? But, Mom, Lindy whined unhappily. Excellent idea, Mr. Powell interrupted. He motioned to Chris. Try it out. After you share them for a while, I'm sure one of you will lose interest in them. Maybe even both of you. Then I'll get out of this stupid mess and be able to drink beer and watch my baseball game, motherfucker. Chris climbed to her feet and walked over to Lindy. She reached out for the dummy. I don't mind sharing, she said quietly, searching her sister's eyes for approval of the idea. Can I hold him for just a second? Lindy held on to Slappy tightly. Suddenly, the dummy's head tilted back and his mouth opened wide. Beat it, Chris, he snarled in a harsh, raspy voice. Get lost, you stupid moron fuck. Before Chris could back away, Slappy's wooden hand shot up and he slapped her hard across the face. Chapter Foreskin. Ow! Chris screamed and raised her hand to her cheek, which was bright pink, but not covered in anything this time. She stepped back. Stop it, Lindy. That hurt. Me? Lindy cried. I didn't do it. Slappy did. Don't be dumb, Chris protested, rubbing her cheek. You really hurt me. But I didn't do it, Lindy cried. She turned Slappy's face toward her. Why were you so rude to Chris?
Mr. Powell jumped from the couch. Stop acting dumb and apologize to your sister, he ordered.
Lindy bowed Slappy's head.
I'm sorry, she made the dummy say.
No, in your own voice, Mr. Powell insisted, crossing his arms in front of his chest. Slappy didn't hurt Chris. You did.
Okay, okay, Lindy muttered, blushing. She avoided Chris's angry stare.
I'm sorry. Here. She dumped Slappy into Chris's arms. Chris was so surprised she nearly dropped the dummy. Slappy was heavier than she'd imagined.
Now what am I supposed to do with him? Chris asked Lindy.
Lindy shrugged and crossed the room to the couch, where she dropped down beside her mother.
Why'd you make such a fuss? Mrs. Powell whispered, leaning close to Lindy. That was so babyish.
Lindy blushed. Slappy is mine. Why can't something be mine for once?
Sometimes you girls are so nice to each other, and sometimes... Mrs. Powell's voice trailed off.
Mr. Powell took a seat on the padded arm of the chair across the room.
How do I make his mouth work? Chris asked, tilting the dummy upside down to examine its back.
There's a string in his back, inside the slit in his jacket, Lindy told her grudgingly. You just pull it.
I don't want Chris to work Slappy, Lindy thought unhappily. I don't want to share Slappy. Why can't I have something that just belongs to me? Why do I have to share everything with her? Why does Chris always want to copy me?
She gritted her teeth and waited for her anger to fade, and trust me, it was raging, as you know.
Later that night, Chris sat up straight in her bed. She'd had a bad dream. I was being chased, she remembered, her heart still pounding. Chased by what? By whom?
She couldn't remember. She glanced around the shadowy room, waiting for her heartbeat to return to normal. The room felt hot and stuffy, even though the window was open and the curtains were fluttering.
Lindy lay sound asleep on her side in the twin bed next to Chris's. She was snoring softly, her lips slightly parted, her long hair falling loose about her face.
Chris glanced at the clock radio on the bed table between the two twin beds. It was nearly 3 a.m. Even though she was now wide awake, the nightmare wouldn't completely fade away. She still felt uncomfortable. This is fun. A little frightened, as if she were still being chased by someone or something. The back of her neck felt hot and prickly. She turned and fluffed up her pillow, propping it higher on the headboard. As she lay back on it, something caught her eye. Someone sitting in the chair in front of the bedroom window. Someone staring at her. After a sharp intake of breath, she realized it was Slappy. Yellow moonlight poured over him, making his staring eyes glow. He was sitting up in the chair, tilted to the right at a slight angle, one arm resting on the slender arm of the chair. His mouth locked in a wide, mocking grin. His eyes seemed to be staring right back at Chris. Chris stared back, studying the dummy's expression in the eerie yellow moonlight. Then, without thinking, without even realizing what she was doing, she climbed silently out of the bed. Her feet got tangled in the bedsheet and she nearly tripped. Kicking the sheet away, she made her way quickly across the room to the window. Slappy stared up at her as her shadow fell over him. His grin seemed to grow wider as Chris leaned closer. A gust of wind made the soft curtains flutter against her face. Chris pushed them away and peered down at the dummy's painted head. She reached a hand out and rubbed his wooden hair, shining in the moonlight. His head felt warm, warmer than she'd imagined. Chris jerked away her hand suddenly. What was that sound? Had Slappy snickered? Had he laughed at her? No, of course not. Chris realized she was breathing hard. Why am I so freaked out by this stupid dummy? She thought. In the bed behind her, Lindy made a gurgling sound and rolled onto her back. Chris stared hard into Slappy's big eyes, gleaming in the light from the window. She waited for him to blink or to roll his eyes from side to side. She suddenly felt foolish. He's just a stupid wooden dummy, she told herself. She reached out and pushed him over. The stiff body swung to the side. The hard head made a soft clonk as it hit the wooden arm of the chair. Chris stared down at him, feeling strangely satisfied, as if she'd somehow taught him a lesson. The curtains rustled against her face again. She pushed them away. Feeling sleepy, she started back to bed. She had only gone one step when Slappy reached out and grabbed her wrist. Chapter 5. On the Rocks. Oh! As the hand tightened around her wrist, Chris cried out
and spun around. To her surprise, Lindy was crouched beside her. Lindy had a tight grip on Chris's wrist. Chris jerked her hand from Lindy's grasp. It wasn't really the dummy, it was just Lindy. Moonlight through the window... Calm down, Nick. Moonlight through the window lit up Lindy's devilish grin. Gotcha again, she declared. You didn't scare me, Chris insisted, but her voice came out a trembling whisper. You didn't scare me. You jumped a mile, Lindy exclaimed gleefully. You really thought that dummy grabbed you. Did not, Chris replied. She hurried to her bed. What were you doing up anyway? Lindy demanded. Why were you messing with Slappy? No, I had a bad dream, Chris told her. I just went to look out the window and feel better. Lindy snickered. You should have seen the look on your face, stupid idiot. I'm going back to sleep. Leave me alone, Chris snapped. She pulled the covers up to her chin. I wish I didn't even look like you, you ugly bitch. Lindy pushed the dummy back to a sitting position. Then she returned to her bed, still chuckling over the scare she'd given her sister. Chris rearranged her pillows, then glanced across the room to the window. The dummy's face was half covered in shadow now, but the eyes glowed as if he were alive, and they stared into hers, as if they were trying to tell her something. Why does he have to grin like that? Chris asked herself, trying to rub away the prickly feeling on the back of her neck, more adverbs in prickliness. She pulled up the sheet, settled into the bed, and turned on her side, away from those wide, staring eyes. But even with her back turned, she could feel them gazing at her. Even with her eyes closed and the covers pulled up to her head, she could picture the shadowy, distorted grin, the unblinking eyes, staring at her, staring, staring. He really said it 3 times. She drifted into an uncomfortable sleep, drifted into another dark nightmare. Someone was chasing her again. Someone very evil was chasing her. But who? Dun, dun, dun. On Monday afternoon, Lindy and Chris both stayed after school to rehearse for the spring concert. It was nearly 5 when they arrived home, and they were surprised to see their dad's car in the driveway. You're home so early, Chris exclaimed, finding him in the kitchen, helping their mother prepare dinner. I'm leaving tomorrow for a sales conference in Portland, Mr. Powell explained, peeling an onion over the sink with a small paring knife. So I only worked half a day today. What's for dinner? Lindy asked. Meat loaf, Mrs. Powell replied. If your father ever gets that fucking onion peeled. There's a trick to not crying when you peel an onion, Mr. Powell said, tears rolling down his cheeks. Wish I knew it. Me too, I should use that one sometime. I work at a restaurant, that would come in handy. How was chorus rehearsal? Mrs. Powell asked, kneading a big ball of red ground beef, hot beef injection in her hands. Boring, Lindy complained, opening the refrigerator and taking out a can of Coke. Yeah, we're doing all these Russian and Yugoslavian dirty European songs, Chris asked. Maybe she said it instead. They're so sad. They're all about sheep or something, or poverty. Stupid shit. We don't really know what they're about. There's no translation. It's just this gobbledygook. Mr. Powell rushed to the sink and began splashing cold water on his red, runny eyes. I can't take this, he wailed. He tossed the half-peeled onion back to his wife. Cry, baby, she muttered, shaking her head at her quite ironic little joke. Chris headed up the stairs to drop her backpack in her room. She tossed it onto the desk she shared with Lindy, then turned to go back downstairs. But something by the window caught her eye. Spinning around, she gasped. Oh, no! The startled cry escaped her lips. Chris raised her hands to her cheeks and stared in disbelief. Slappy was propped up in the chair in front of the window, grinning at her with his usual wide-eyed stare. And seated beside him was another dummy, also grinning at her. And they were holding hands. What's going on here? Chris cried aloud. La-da-da-da-da. It's the motherfucking chapter 6. Chapter 6, motherfucker! Do you like him? At first, Chris thought that Slappy had asked the question. She gaped in stunned disbelief. Well, what do you think of him? It took Chris a long moment to realize that the voice was coming from behind her. She turned to find her father standing in the doorway, still dabbing at his eyes with a wet dish towel. Because of the onions, remember. Sorry. I've been away for like an hour, actually. The new dummy? Chris stammered. He's for you, Mr. Powell said, stepping into the room, the wet towel pressed against both eyes. Really? Chris hurried over to the chair and picked the new dummy up to examine him. There's a tiny pawn shop on the corner across from my office, Mr. Powell said, lowering a towel. I was walking past, and believe it or not, this guy was in the window. He was cheap, too. I think the pawnbroker was glad to get rid of him. Nothing shady whatsoever. He's cute, Chris said, searching for the right word. Ended up being cute. He looks just like Lindy's dummy, except his hair is bright red, not brown. Probably made by the same company, Mr. Powell said. His clothes are better than Slappy's, Chris said, holding the dummy out at arm's length to get a good view. I hate that stupid gray sleut on Lindy's dummy's fucking tweed-ass motherfucking suit. The new dummy wore blue denim jeans and a red and green flannel shirt, and instead of the former-looking shiny brown shoes, he had white high-top sneakers on his feet, Chuck Taylors and shit. So you like him? Mr. Powell asked, smiling. I love him! Chris cried happily. She crossed the room and gave her dad a hug and a big smooch. Then she picked up the dummy and ran out of the room, down the stairs and into the kitchen. Hey, everybody, meet Mr. Wood! She declared happily, holding the grinning dummy up in front of her. Barky yapped excitedly, leaping up to nip at the dummy's sneakers. Chris pulled her dummy away. Hey! Lindy cried in surprise. Where'd you get that? From Daddy, Chris said, her grin wider than the dummy's. I'm going to start practicing with him after dinner, and I'm going to be a better ventriloquist than you. Chris, Mrs. Powell scolded, everything is in a competition, you know. I already have a job with Slappy, Lindy said with a superior sneer, and you're just getting started, you're just a beginner. Mr. Wood is much better looking than Slappy, Chris said, mirroring her twin sister's sneer. Mr. Wood is cool looking. That gray suit on your dummy is the pits, tired ass shit. You think that ratty old shirt is cool looking? Lindy scoffed, making a disgusted face. Yuck, that old dummy probably has worms in his butt. You have worms in your butt, Chris exclaimed. Your dummy won't be funny, Lindy said nastily, because you don't have a sense of humor. Oh, yeah, Chris replied, tossing Mr. Wood over her shoulder. I must have a sense of humor. I put up with you, don't I? Copycat, copycat, Lindy cried angrily. Out of the kitchen, Mrs. Powell ordered with an impatient shriek. Out! Get out! You two are impossible! The dummies have better personalities than either of you two. I hate you and wish you were never born. Thanks, Mom, Chris said sarcastically. Call me for dinner, Lindy called back. I'm going upstairs to practice my act with Slappy for the birthday party on Saturday. It was the next afternoon, and Chris was sitting at the dressing table she shared with Lindy. Chris rummaged in the jewelry box and pulled out another string of brightly colored beads. She slipped them over her head and untangled them from the other three strands of beads she was wearing. Then she gazed at herself in the mirror, shaking her head to better see the long, dangly earrings. I love my junk jewelry collection, she thought, digging into the depths of the wooden jewelry box to see what other treasures she could pull out. Lindy had no interest in the stuff, but Chris could spend hours trying on the beads, fingering the dozens of little charms, running her fingers over the plastic bracelets, jangling the earrings. Her jewelry collection always cheered her up. She shook her head, making the long earrings jangle. A knock on the bedroom door made her spin around. Hey, Chris, how's it going? Her friend Cody Matthews stepped into the room. He had straight, white blonde hair and pale gray eyes and a slender, serious face. Cody always looked as if he were deep in thought. You ride your bike over? Chris asked, removing several strands of beads at once and tossing them into the jewelry box. No, walked, Cody replied. Why'd you call? You just want to hang out with me, girl? No. Chris jumped up to her feet. She walked over to the chair by the window and grabbed up Mr. Wood. I want to practice my act. Cody groaned. I'm the guinea pig. No, the audience. Come on. I'll make it worth your while. She led him out to the bent old maple tree in the middle of her backyard. The afternoon sun was just beginning to lower itself in the clear, spring blue sky. She raised one foot against the tree trunk and propped Mr. Wood on her knee. Cody sprawled on his back in the shade, looking all sexy and stuff. Tell me if this is funny, she instructed. Okay, shoot, Cody replied, narrowing his eyes in concentration. Chris turned Mr. Wood to face her. How are you today? She asked him.
Pretty good, knock wood,
she made the dummy say. She waited for Cody to laugh, but he didn't.
Was that funny? She asked.
Kinda, he replied without enthusiasm. Keep going.
Okay. Chris lowered her head so that she was face to face with her dummy. Mr. Wood, she said, why were you standing in front of the mirror with your eyes closed?
Well,
answered the dummy in a high-pitched, squeaky voice that really sounded like a low black man.
I wanted to see what I look like when I'm asleep.
Chris tilted the dummy's head back and made him look as if he were laughing.
How about that joke? She asked Cody.
Cody shrugged. It fucking sucked.
Aw, you're no help, Chris screamed angrily. She lowered her arms and Mr. Wood crumpled onto her lap. You're supposed to tell me if it's funny or not.
I told you it fucking sucked, Cody said thoughtfully.
Chris groaned. I need some good joke books, she said. That's all. Some good joke books with some really funny jokes. Then I'd be ready to perform because I'm a pretty good ventriloquist, right?
I guess, Cody replied, pulling up a handful of grass and letting the moist, green blades sift through his fingers. A pointless description.
Well, I don't move my lips very much, do I? Chris demanded.
Not too much, Cody allowed, but you don't really throw your voice.
No one can throw her voice, Chris told him. It's just an illusion. You make people think you're throwing her voice. Your voice, dummy.
You don't really throw it, stupid.
Oh, Cody said, pulling up another handful of grass.
Likes grass.
Chris tried out several more jokes. What do you think? She asked Cody.
I think I have to go home, Cody said. He tossed a handful of grass at her.
Chris brushed the green blades off Mr. Wood's wooden head. She wrapped her hands gently over the dummy's painted red hair.
You're hurting Mr. Wood's feelings, she told Cody.
Cody climbed to his feet.
Why do you want to mess with that thing anyway? He asked, pushing his white blonde hair back off his forehead.
Because it's fun, Chris replied.
Is that the real reason?
Cody demanded, Dr. Phil-like.
Well, I guess I want to show Lindy that I'm better at it than she is.
You two are weird, Cody declared. See you in school. He gave her a little wave, then turned and headed for his home, down the block.
Chris pulled down the blankets and climbed into bed. Pale moonlight filtered in through the bedroom window.
Yawning, she glanced at the clock radio.
Nearly 10. She could hear Lindy brushing her teeth in the bedroom, maybe the bathroom, across the hall.
Why does Lindy always hum when she brushes her teeth and gives head? Chris wondered. How can one twin sister do so many annoying things?
She gave Mr. Wood one last glance. He was propped in the chair in front of the window, his hands carefully placed in his lap, his white sneakers hanging over the chair edge.
He looks like a real person, Chris thought sleepily.
Tomorrow I'm going to check out some good joke books from the library at school. I can be funnier than Lindy. I know I can.
She settled back sleepily on her pillow. I'll be asleep as soon as we turn off the lights, she thought.
A few seconds later, Lindy entered the room, wearing her nightshirt and carrying Slappy under one arm.
You asleep? She asked Chris.
Almost, Chris replied, yawning loudly. I've been studying for the math final all night. Where have you been?
Over at Alice's, Lindy told her, settling Slappy down in the chair beside Mr. Wood.
Some kids were over, and, you know, I practiced my act for them.
You know what? They laughed so hard, I thought they'd split a gut. When Slappy and I did our rap routine of the Dr. Dre Chronic 2001, or maybe the Chronic 1, Alice spit her chocolate milk out her nose.
What a riot. I am amazing at what I do.
That's nice, Chris said without enthusiasm. Guess you and Slappy are ready for Amy's birthday party on Saturday.
Yeah, Lindy replied. She placed Slappy's arm around Mr. Wood's shoulder.
They look so cute together, she said. Then she noticed the clothing neatly draped over the desk chair.
What's that? She asked Chris.
Chris raised her head from the pillow to see what her sister was pointing at.
My outfit for tomorrow, she told her. We're having a dress-up party in Miss Finch's class. It's a farewell party.
For Margot. You know, the student teacher.
Lindy stared at the clothes.
Your Betsy Johnson skirt? Your silk blouse?
We're supposed to get really dressed up, Chris said, yawning. Can we go to sleep now?
Yeah, sure. Lindy made her way to the bed, sat down, and clicked off the bed table lamp.
Are you getting any better with Mr. Wood?
Yeah, that's funny, she asked, climbing between the sheets.
Chris was stung by the question. It was such an obvious put-down.
Yeah, I'm getting really good. I did some stuff for Cody out in the backyard.
Cody laughed so hard, he didn't split a gut, but He couldn't breathe, let me tell you, really. He was holding his sides, if I recall. He said Mr. Wood and I should be on TV. He was just really just fawning over me. It was amazing. Really? Lindy replied after a long moment's hesitation. That's weird. I never thought Cody had much of a sense of humor. He's always so grim. I don't think I've ever seen him laugh. That sounds like a big crock of BS, sis. Well, he was laughing at Mr. Wood and me, Chris insisted, wishing she were a better liar. Awesome, Lindy muttered. I can't wait to see your act. Neither can I, Chris thought glumly. A few seconds later, they were both asleep. Their mother's voice, calling from downstairs, awoke them at 7 in the next morning. Bright, morning orange sunlight poured in through the window. Chris could hear birds chirping happily in the old maple tree. Rise and shine! Rise and shine! Every morning, Mrs. Powell shouted up the same fucking words. Chris rubbed the sleep from her eyes, then stretched her arm high over her head. She glanced across the room, then uttered a quiet gasp. Hey, what's going on? She reached across to Lindy's bed and shook Lindy by the shoulder. What's going on? Huh? Lindy, startled, sat straight up. What's the joke? Where is he? Chris demanded. Huh? Chris pointed to the chair across the room. Sitting straight up in the chair, Slappy grinned back at them, bathed in morning sunlight. But Mr. Wood was gone. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Chapter 7! Woo! Chris blinked several times and pushed herself up in bed with both hands. Her left hand tingled. She must have been sleeping on it, she realized. What? What's wrong? Lindy asked, her voice fogged with sleep. Where's Mr. Wood? Chris demanded impatiently. Where'd you put him? Huh? Put him? Lindy struggled to focus her eyes. She saw Slappy sitting stiffly on the chair across the room, by himself. It's not funny, Chris snapped. She climbed out of bed, pulled down the hem of her night skirt, for some reason, and made her way quickly to the chair in front of the window. Don't you ever get tired of playing stupid jokes? Jokes, huh? Lindy lowered her feet to the floor. Chris bent down sexily to search the floor under her chair. Then she moved to the foot of the bed and got down on her knees to search under both twin beds. Where is he, Lindy? She asked angrily. On her knees, at the foot of the bed. I don't think this is funny. I really don't. Well, neither do I, Lindy insisted, standing up and stretching. Chill the fuck out. Chris climbed to her feet. Her eyes went wide as she spotted the missing dummy. Oh! Lindy followed her sister's startled gaze. Mr. Wood grinned at them from the doorway. He appeared to be standing, his skinny legs bent at an awkward angle. He was wearing Chris's dress-up clothes, the Betsy Johnson skirt, and the silk blouse, looking like a total queer. Her mouth wide open in surprise, Chris made her way quickly to the doorway. She immediately saw that the dummy wasn't really standing on his own. He had been propped up, the doorknob shoved into the opening in his back. She grabbed the dummy by the waist and pulled him away from the door. My blouse, it's all wrinkled, she cried, holding it so Lindy could see, rubbing her nose in it. She narrowed her eyes angrily at her sister. This was so obnoxious of you, Lindy. Me? Lindy shrieked. I swear, Chris, I didn't do it. I slept like a rock last night. I didn't move. I was fucking hammered. I didn't get up until you woke me. I didn't do it. Really? Really? Okay? I didn't do it. Okay? I'm telling you this as your twin sister. Believe me. Do not accuse me of this. I am innocent. I will take this to my fucking grave. Chris stared hard at her sister, then lowered her eyes to the dummy. In her blouse and skirt, Mr. Wood grinned up at her, as if enjoying her bewilderment. Well, Mr. Wood, Chris said aloud, I guess you put on my clothes and walked to the door all by yourself. That wouldn't be scary at all. Lindy started to say something, but their mother's voice from downstairs interrupted. Are you girls going to school today? Where are you? You're late. Coming, Chris called down, casting an angry glance at Lindy. She carefully set Mr. Wood down on his back and on her bed and pulled her skirt and blouse off him, making him look like a man again. She looked up to see Lindy making a mad dash across the hall to be first in the bathroom. Sighing, Chris stared down at Mr. Wood. The dummy grinned up at her, a mischievous grin. Well, what's going on? She asked the dummy. I didn't dress you up and move you, and Lindy swears she didn't do it. But if we didn't do it, she thought, who the fuck did? Chapter V-I-I-I. Tilt his head forward, Lindy instructed. That's it. If you bounce him up and down a little, it'll make it look just like he's laughing. Chris obediently bounced Mr. Wood on her lap, making him laugh, and me laugh. Don't move his mouth so much, Lindy told her. I think you're both crazy, Lindy's friend Alice said.
So what else is new?
Cody joked, and who I just decided sounds like Cody from Step by Step.
Step by step, day by day.
Day by day!
Sorry, Nick. I apologize. Proceed.
All four of them were sitting in a small patch of shade under the bent old maple tree in the Powell's backyard. It was a hot Saturday afternoon, the sun high in a pale blue sky, streaks of yellow light filtering down through the shifting leaves above their heads. The most descriptive day ever, motherfucker! Stupid fucking Barky sniffed busily around the yard, his little tail wagging nonstop. Chris sat on a folding chair, which leaned back against the gnarled tree trunk. She had Mr. Wood on her lap. He had some wood. Finally made that joke. Cool. Knew it was bound to happen. Lindy and Alice stood at the edge of the shade, their hands crossed over their chests, watching Chris's performance with frowns of concentration on their faces. Here's a little bit about Alice. She was a tall, skinny girl with straight black hair, not blonde like the other main characters, down to her shoulders, a snub nose like a pistol, and a pretty heart-shaped mouth. Ooh, I'd like to get up on that. She was wearing white shorts and a bright blue midriff top. Cody was sprawled on his back in the grass, his hands behind his head, a long blade of grass between his teeth, you know, just chilling next door to the Lamberts. Chris was trying to show off her ventriloquist skills, but Lindy kept interrupting with her, quote, helpful suggestions. When she wasn't making, quote, suggestions, Lindy was nervously glancing at her watch. She didn't want to be late for her job at Amy's birthday party at 2 o'clock. Finally today, apparently. Good to know. I think you're way weird, Alice told Lindy. Hey, no way, Lindy replied. Slappy is a lot of fun, and I'm going to make a lot of money with him, and maybe I'll be a comedy star or something when I'm older. She glanced at her watch again. Well, everyone at school thinks that both of you are weird, Alice said, swatting a fly off her bare arm, sounding a lot like that one friend from Stay Out of the Basement. Who cares, Lindy replied sharply. They're all weird, too.
And so are you,
Chris made Mr. Wood say. I could see your lips move, Lindy told Chris. Chris rolled her eyes. Give me a break. You've been giving me a hard time all morning. Quit breaking my balls. Just trying to help, Lindy said. You don't have to be so defensive, do you? Chris uttered an angry growl.
Was that your stomach?
She made Mr. Wood say. Cody laughed. At least one person thinks you're funny, Lindy said dryly. But if you want to do parties, you really should get some better jokes. Chris let the dummy slump to her lap. I can't find any good joke books, she said dejectedly. Where'd you find your jokes? A superior sneer again formed on Lindy's face. She tossed her long hair behind her shoulder. I make up my own jokes, she replied snootily.
You are a joke, Cody said.
Ha ha, remind me to laugh later, Lindy said sarcastically. I can't believe you don't have your dummy out here, Alice told Lindy. I mean, don't you want to rehearse for the party? No need, Lindy replied. I've got my act down, pat. I don't want to over-rehearse. Chris groaned loudly. Some of the other parents are staying at the birthday party just to watch Slappy and me, Lindy continued, ignoring Chris's sarcasm. If the kids like me, their parents might hire me for their parties. Maybe you and Chris could do an act together, Alice suggested. That could be really awesome. Yeah, what an act. Then there'd be four dummies, Cody joked. Alice was the only one to laugh. Lindy made a face at Cody. That might actually be fun, she said thoughtfully. And then she added, when Chris is ready. Chris drew in her breath and prepared to make an angry reply. But before she could say anything, Lindy grabbed Mr. Wood from her hands. Let me give you a few pointers, Lindy said, putting one foot on Chris's folding chair and arranging Mr. Wood on her lap. You have to hold him up straighter, like this. Hey, give him back, Chris demanded, reaching for her dummy. As she reached up, Mr. Woods suddenly lowered his head until he was staring down at her.
You're a jerk,
he rasped in Chris's face, speaking in a low, throaty growl. Huh? Chris pulled back in surprise.
You're a stupid jerk.
Mr. Wood repeated nastily in the same harsh growl that still sounded like a large, soulful black man.
Lindy, stop it! Chris cried. Cody and Alice both stared in open-mouthed surprise.
Stupid moron! Get lost! Stupid jerk! Just get lost, you stupid idiot!
The dummy rasped in Chris's face.
Whoa! Cody exclaimed. Make him stop! Chris screamed at her sister. I can't!
Lindy cried in a trembling voice. Her face became pale, her eyes wide with fear.
I can't make him stop, Chris. He's speaking for himself.
Chapter 9 is dedicated to the memory of Dune. We miss you, ma'am. Rest in peace. Pour some out for you.
Back to fun times with dummies. The dummy glared at Chris, its grin ugly and evil.
I can't make him stop. I'm not doing it, Lindy cried, tugging with all her might. She pulled Mr. Wood out of Chris's face.
Cody and Alice flashed each other bewildered glances. Frightened, Chris raised herself from the folding chair and backed up against the tree trunk.
He's talking on his own?
She stared hard at the grinning dummy.
I think so. I'm all mixed up, Lindy declared, her cheeks bright pink.
Barky yipped and jumped on Lindy's legs, trying to get her attention, but she kept her gaze on Chris's frightened face.
This is a joke, right, Lamberts? Cody asked hopefully.
What's going on?
Alice demanded, her arms crossed in front of her chest, still sounding like Diane from Stay Out of the Basement. Maybe that was her name.
Ignoring them, Lindy handed Mr. Wood back to Chris. Here, take him. He's yours. Maybe you can control him.
But Lindy... Chris started to protest. Lindy glared at her watch.
Oh no! The party! I'm late! I'm late! I'm late! I'm late! I'm late! No time to say hello, goodbye! I'm late! I'm late! I'm late!
Shaking her head, she took off toward the house.
Later!
She called without looking back.
But Lindy!
Chris called. The kitchen door slammed behind Lindy. Cough. Holding Mr. Wood by the shoulders, Chris lowered her eyes to his face. He grinned up at her. A devilish grin, his eyes staring intently into hers.
Corona.
Chris swung easily, leaning back and raising her feet into the air. The chain squeaked with every swing. The old backyard swing set, half covered with rust, hadn't been much used in recent years. The early evening sun was lowering itself behind the house. The aroma of a roasting chicken floated out from the kitchen window. Chris could hear her mother busy in the kitchen preparing dinner. Fucking Barky yapped beneath her. Chris dropped her feet to the ground and stopped the swing to avoid kicking him.
Dumb dog. With your stupid name.
Don't you know you could get hurt? She looked up to see Lindy come running up the driveway, holding Slappy under her arm. From the smile on Lindy's face, Chris knew at once that the birthday party had been a triumph. But she had to ask anyway.
How'd it go? It was awesome! Woo! Lindy exclaimed. Slappy and I were great!
Chris pulled herself off the swing and forced a smile to her face.
That's nice, she offered. The kids thought we were a riot, Lindy continued.
She pulled Slappy up. Didn't they, Slappy?
They liked me, hated you,
Slappy declared in Lindy's high-pitched voice. Chris forced a laugh.
I'm glad it went okay, she said, trying hard to be a good sport. I did a sing-along with Slappy, and it went over really, 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 really well. Then Slappy and I did our rap routine. Fucking gangsta-ass shit. What a hit, Lindy gushed.
She's spreading it on a little thick, like the gum, Chris thought bitterly. Chris couldn't help feeling jealous.
The kids all lined up to talk to Slappy, Lindy continued. Didn't they, Slappy? Everyone loved me, she made the dummy say. Where's my share of the loot? Meh.
So you got paid $20? Chris asked, kicking out a clump of weeds.
25, okay, Lindy replied. Amy's mom said I was so good she'd pay me extra. It's like a tip, homie.
Oh, and guess what else? You know Mrs. Evans? You know? Mrs. Evans? You know her, right?
You know, the woman who always wears the leopard skin pants? You know who am I? Exactly. Anna's mom? You know? She asked me to do Anna's party next Sunday. She really, really did. She's going to pay me $30. I'm telling you, she's at $30. That's 10 more than the first person. I'm going to be rich!
Wow, $30, Chris muttered, shaking her head.
I get 20. You get 10, Lindy made Slappy say. I have to go tell Mom the good news, Lindy said.
What have you been doing all afternoon? Probably not as good as mine, I bet.
Well, after you left, I was pretty upset, Chris replied, following Lindy to the house. You know, about Mr. Wood. I put him upstairs. Alice and Cody went home. They suck anyways. They're useless. Then Mom and I went to the mall.
His tail wagging furiously, Barky ran right over their feet, nearly tripping both of them. "Barky, look out!" Lindy yelled. "Oh, I nearly forgot," Chris said, stopping on the back stoop. "Something good happened." Lindy stopped on the stoop, too. "Something good?" "Yeah, I ran to Mrs. Berman at the mall. She's the wife of Chris Berman, the guy that goes, back, on ESPN. Mrs. Berman was their music teacher and organizer of the spring concert, and obviously has the affiliation with the ESPN broadcaster. "Thrills," Lindy replied sarcastically, quite bitchily. "And Mrs. Berman asked if Mr. Wood and I wanted to be master of ceremonies for the spring concert." Chris smiled at her sister. Lindy swallowed hard. "She asked you to host the concert, for reals?" "Yeah, I get to perform with Mr. Wood in front of everyone." Chris gushed happily. She saw a flash of jealousy on Lindy's face, which made her even happier. Lindy pulled open the screen door. "Well, good luck," she said dryly. "With that weird dummy of yours, you'll need it." Ooh, burn. Dinner was spent talking about Lindy's performance at Amy Marshall's birthday party. Lindy and Mrs. Powell chatted excitedly. Chris ate in silence. "At first I thought the whole thing was strange, I have to admit," Mrs. Powell said, scooping ice cream into bowls for dessert. "I just couldn't believe you'd be interested in ventriloquism, Lindy. But I guess you have a flair for it. I guess you do have some talent in you somewhere, you know? It took a while to find it, but we got it. It's there." Lindy beamed, because she didn't listen to that last part. Mrs. Powell normally wasn't big on compliments. "I found a book in the school library about ventriloquism," Lindy said. "It had some pretty good tips in it. It even had a comedy routine to perform." She glanced at Chris. "But I like making up my own jokes better." "You should watch your sister's act," Mrs. Powell told Chris. "Also watch the movie Sister Act, starring Whoopi Goldberg." Handing her a bowl of ice cream, actually, believe it or not. "I mean, you could probably pick up some pointers for the concert at school." "Maybe," Chris replied, trying to hide how annoyed she was. After dinner, Mr. Powell called from Portland, and they all talked with him. Lindy told him about her success with Slappy at the birthday party. Chris told him about being asked to host the concert with Mr. Wood. Her father promised he wouldn't schedule any road trips so that he could attend the concert. After watching a video, their mother had rented at the mall. The two sisters went up to their room. It was a little after 11, believe it or not. Chris clicked on the light. Lindy followed her in. They both glanced across the room to the chair where they kept the two dummies and gasped. "Oh no!" Lindy cried, raising one hand to her wide-open mouth. Earlier that night, you see, the dummies had been placed side-by-side in a sitting position. But now Slappy was upside down, falling out of the chair, his head on the floor. His brown shoes had been pulled off his feet and tossed against the wall. His suit jacket had been pulled halfway down his arms, trapping his hands behind his back, looking like he was the victim of some rape of some sort. "Look," Chris stammered, although her sister was already staring in horror at the scene. "Mr. Wood, he's..." Chris's voice caught in her throat. Mr. Wood was sprawled on top of Slappy. His hands were wrapped around Slappy's throat, as if he were strangling him. Chapter 10. It's easy as chapter 10. As simple as chapter 10. Chapter 10. Chapter 10, baby. Chapter 10, girl. I don't believe this," Chris managed to whisper. She turned and caught the frightened expression on Lindy's face. "What's going on?" Lindy cried. Both sisters hurried across the room. Chris grabbed Mr. Wood by the back of the neck and pulled him off of the other dummy. She felt as if she were separating two fighting boys. She held Mr. Wood up in front of her, examining him carefully, staring at his face as if half expecting him to talk to her. Then she lowered the dummy and tossed it face down onto her bed. Her face was pale and taut with fear. Lindy stooped and picked up Slappy's brown shoes from the floor. She held them up and studied them, as if they would offer her a clue to what had happened here. "Chris, did you do this?" Lindy asked softly, much softlier than I had said. "Huh? Me?" Chris reacted with surprise. "I mean, I know you're jealous of Slappy and me," Lindsay started. "Whoa, wait a minute," Chris replied angrily in a shrill, trembling voice. "I didn't do this, Lindy. Don't accuse me of any of this bullshit." Lindy glared at her sister, studying her face. Then her expression softened and she sighed. "I don't get it. I just don't get it. Look at Slappy. He's nearly been torn apart. Look at those clothes just ripped to shreds. Poor guy." She set the shoes down on the chair and picked the dummy up gently, as if picking up a baby. Holding him in one hand, she struggled to pull his suit jacket up with the other one. "It's okay, baby. Come to mama. It's okay." Chris heard her sister mutter something. It sounded like, "Your dummy is evil." What did you say? Chris demanded. Nothing, Lindy replied, still struggling with the jacket. I'm kind of scared about this, Lindy confessed, blushing, avoiding Chris's eyes. Me too, Chris admitted. Something weird is definitely going on. I think we should tell Mom. Lindy buttoned the jacket. Then she sat down on the bed with Slappy on her lap and started to replace the dummy shoes. Yeah, I guess we should, she replied. It's just so creepy. Their mother was in bed, reading a Stephen King novel. That's a nice little reference there. I have a collection of Stephen King first editions. I can appreciate that. He's better than you, Arlstein. Gotta admit. Her bedroom was dark except for a tiny reading lamp on her headboard that threw down a narrow triangle of yellow light. Triangle. Mrs. Powell uttered a short cry as her two daughters appeared out of the shadows. Oh, you startled me. You looked like the twins from The Shining. This is such a scary... Oh, she's reading the... Oh, that's awesome. This is such a scary book, and I think I was just about to fall asleep. I think you really have to... It's kind of a clever little thing about the twins and The Shining. That must be the Stephen King book she's reading. I mean, by that time he had written like 40 books, so it could be any of them, but... I think I just figured out a little mini riddle in that one. I'll drink to that. Drink to that, definitely. All right. Back to the action. Can we talk to you? Chris asked eagerly in a low whisper. Something weird is going on, Lindy added. Mrs. Powell yawned and closed her book, The Shining by Stephen King. What's wrong? It's about Mr. Wood, Chris said. He's been doing a lot of strange things. Huh? Mrs. Powell's eyes opened wide. She looked pale and tired under the harsh light from the reading lamp. He was strangling Slappy, Lindy reported again. And this afternoon, he said some really gross things. And stop, Mrs. Powell ordered, raising one hand. Just stop in the name of love. But Mom, Chris started. Give me a break, girls, the mother said wearily. I'm just tired of your silly competitions. You don't understand, Lindy interrupted. Yes, I do understand, Mrs. Powell said sharply. You two are even competing with those fucking ventriloquist dummies. Mom, please! I want it to stop right now, Mrs. Powell insisted, tossing the book onto her bed table. I mean it. I don't want to hear another word from either of you about those dummies. If you two have problems, settle it between yourselves. Mom, listen, and if you can't settle it, I'll take the dummies away. Both of them. I'm serious. Mrs. Powell reached above her head and clicked off the reading light, throwing the room into darkness. Good night, she said. The girls had no choice but to leave the room. They slunk down the hall in silence. A fire truck roared nearby Nikki Sleaze's house. Chris hesitated at the doorway to their bedroom. She expected to find Mr. Wood strangling Slappy again. She breathed a sigh of relief when she saw the two dummies on the bed where they had been left. Mom wasn't too helpful, Lindy said dryly, rolling her eyes. She picked up Slappy and started to arrange him in the chair in front of the window. I think she was asleep and we woke her up, Chris replied. She picked up Mr. Wood and started toward the chair with him, then stopped. You know what? I think I'm going to put him in the closet tonight, she said thoughtfully, burping grotesquely. Good idea, Lindy said, climbing into bed. Chris glanced down at the dummy, half expecting him to react, to complain, to start calling her names. But Mr. Wood grinned up at her, his painted eyes dull and lifeless. Chris felt a chill of fear. I'm becoming afraid of a stupid ventriloquist dummy, she thought. I'm shutting him up in the closet tonight because I'm afraid. She carried Mr. Wood to the closet. Then, with a groan, she raised him high above her head and slid him onto the top shelf. Carefully closing the closet door, listening for the click, she made her way to the bed. She slept just fitfully, absolutely fitfully, tossing, turning on top of the covers, her sleep filled with disturbing sexual dreams. She awoke to find her nightshirt completely twisted and soaking wet, cutting off the circulation to her right arm. You know, she struggled to straighten it and eventually fell back to sleep. She woke early, drenched in sweat. The sky was still dawn gray outside the window. The room felt hot and stuffy. She sat up slowly, feeling weary, as if she hadn't slept at all. Blinking away the sleep, her eyes focused on the chair in front of the window. And there sat Slappy, exactly where Lindy had placed him. And beside him sat Mr. Wood, his arm around Slappy's shoulder, grinning triumphantly at Chris, as if he had just pulled off a wonderful joke. You can't handle the Chapter 11. Now, Mr. Wood, do you go to school?
Of course I do. Do you think I'm a dummy?
And what's your favorite class?
Woodshop, of course.
What project are you building in shop class, Mr. Wood?
I'm building a girl dummy. What else? Haha, think I want to spend the rest of my life on your lap? Wide-ass frickin' broad.
Chris sat in front of the dressing table mirror with Mr. Wood on her lap, studying herself as she practiced her routine for the school concert. Mr. Wood had been well-behaved for 2 days. No frightening, mysterious incidents. Chris was beginning to feel better. Maybe everything would go okay from now on. That'd be amazing. Wouldn't give me a job, though. She leaned close to the mirror, watching her lips as she made the dummy talk. The B's and the M's were impossible to pronounce without moving her lips. She'd just have to avoid those sounds as best as she could. I'm getting better at switching from Mr. Wood's voice back to mine, she thought happily. But I've got to switch faster. The faster he and I talk, the funnier it is. Let's try it again, Mr. Wood, she said, pulling her chair close to the mirror.
Work, work, work,
she made the dummy grumble. Before she could begin the routine, Lindy came rushing breathlessly into the room. Chris watched her sister in the mirror as she came up behind her, her long hair flying loosely over her shoulders, an excited smile on her face. Guess what? Lindy asked. Chris started to reply, but Lindy didn't even give her a fucking chance. Mrs. Petrie was at Amy's birthday party. Fucking Mrs. Petrie, Lindy gushed, excitedly. She works for Channel 3, you know, the TV station on the television set, and she thinks I'm good enough to go on Talent Search, the show they have every week. Huh, really? Was all Chris could manage in reply. Lindy leapt excitedly into the air and cheered. Woo! Slappy and I are going to be on TV! She cried. Isn't that fabulous? Staring at her sister's jubilant reflection in the mirror, Chris felt a stab of jealousy. I've got to tell Mom! Lindy declared. Hey, Mom! Mom! She ran from the room. Chris heard her shouting all the way down the stairs. Ah! Chris couldn't even hold it in. She uttered an angry cry. Why does everything good happen to Lindy? She screamed aloud. I'm hosting a stupid concert for maybe 100 parents, and she's gonna be on TV? I'm just as good as she is, maybe better. In a rage, she raised Mr. Wood high over her head and slammed him to the floor. The dummy's head made a loud clunk as it hit the hardwood floor. The wide mouth flew open as if about to scream. Oh, Chris struggled to regain her composure. Mr. Wood crumpled at her feet, stared up at her accusingly. Chris lifted him up and cradled the dummy against her. There, there, Mr. Wood, she whispered soothingly. Calm down, Nick, calm down. Did I hurt you? Did I? I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to. The dummy continued to stare up at her. His painted grin hadn't changed, but his eyes seemed cold and unforgiving. It was a still night. No breeze. The curtains in front of the open bedroom window didn't flutter or move. Pale silver moonlight filtered in, creating long, purple shadows that appeared to creep across the girl's bedroom. Lindy had been sleeping fitfully, a light sleep filled with busy, colorful dreams. She was startled awake by a sound, a gentle thud. Huh? She raised her head from the damp pillow and turned. Someone was moving in the darkness. The sound she heard were footsteps. Hey, she whispered, wide awake now. Who is it? The figure turned in the doorway, a shadow against even blacker shadows. It's only me, came a whispered reply. Chris? Yeah, something woke me up. My throat is sore, Chris whispered from the doorway. I'm going down to the kitchen for a glass of water. She disappeared into the shadows. Her head still raised off her pillow, Lindy listened to her footsteps padding down the stairs. When the sounds faded, Lindy shut her eyes and lowered her head to the pillow. A few seconds later, she heard Chris's scream of horror. Alright, sorry for that scream to anyone that listens to Dune Reads Goosebumps while sleeping like I do. But the first part of Night of the Living Dummy is done. Sun's going down in my eyes. I'm going to take a little break here, but I'm going to keep it going on May the 3rd, 2010. I'm going to wait for the sun to go down. Get a little cozy in here, try to spook myself out a little bit. Light some candles maybe. But again, thanks to Dune for creating this great podcast. It's been a pleasure. Hopefully part 2 will be up before long.
but I'm going to make it happen for you. Hope you enjoyed Nick Sleazen Reads Goosebumps. See you for part two of the seventh book. Sleep well. Bye. Thanks for stopping by.
He said Slappy and Mr. Wood. Those, nice job, Nick. That was nice work there. I am impressed. You did better than me, but, you know, that's not going to discourage me. You and your music and putting effort into things, that doesn't discourage me at all. So, I don't even care. And really? Corona, Nick? You're drinking Corona on Dune Reads Goosebumps? Not only is that the lowest rated beer to beer snobs, but that is my least favorite beer. I'm drinking a natural ice right now after I was drinking boxed wine out of the bladder earlier. The point is, I'd like you to get some Night Train, Wild Irish Rose, just some cheap whiskey, Steel Reserve, something, you know? But anyway, I'm just rambling to make up for the fact that I need to put the outro music here and Nick put the Day of the Dead. I mean, public domain music. Anyway, seriously, dude, nice work. I really do appreciate it. Burn in hell. Stay spooky, bitches!